It was a long and a tedious drive, and there was a van full of kids, and it was a long, boring, straight stretch. And so Pastor Garrett decided to get the teens to play What Would You Do? I was just wondering what Ryan was doing, but that's okay. Oh, did you want a cookie? And never mind. So they decided to get them to play What Would You Do? And for those of you who haven't heard of the game, it's a great conversation starter. You take turns. One person asks a question with the phrase, "What would you do?" Everyone answers, and then the next person sitting next to them or so on, they ask a new "What would you do?" Well, the first question that came out while they were playing this game in the youth group van was, "What would you do if you were the first person on earth?" One of the teen answers, "Well, that's easy, not eat the apple." Next question. Yeah, there you go. And from the back of the van eventually came a small voice. "If you had only 24 hours left to live, what would you do?" And the students began to talk and share different ideas. And one of them said, "I'd eat all the junk food my mom says I can't eat." Another, "I'd rob a bank and give the money to my family." "I'd sit in my room and cry." "I'd assassinate all the bad guys." "I'd do all the things I've been scared to do, like swim in the ocean." That is really interesting. Rob a bank, assassinate bad guys, do things you were scared to do. You know, it kind of does get you thinking, what would you do if you had only 24 hours to live? And what I find very fascinating is in the Gospel of John, we find clearly Jesus knew. And we find out what he chose to do. He knew he had 24 hours to live, and among other things, guess what he did? He washed feet. That wouldn't be the first thing on my priority list, but I'm not Jesus. This is profound. Remember, it's the last meal that he and his disciples are going to have before the cross. And what does the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe do? He takes off his robe, he wraps a towel around his waist, and he washes the disciples' feet, including, you know who? Mr. Judas. Wow. You know, he knows he's about to be betrayed by one of his closest followers. He's going to be abandoned, beaten, tortured, crucified. And even knowing Judas's heart, he still humbles himself and serves his enemy. Just a second. I don't know about you, but I sometimes have a hard time serving those I like, let alone that are about to cause me tremendous physical, mental, emotional, spiritual pain. I mean, serve my enemy? That kind of seems crazy. But you know what's amazing, if you stop and think about it, is I realize I once was God's enemy too. Romans 5:10 tells us we were God's enemies. Guess what? I've betrayed Jesus. So did you. I've lived selfishly and turned from his grace, and so have you. I chose to go on my own way, and so have you. But it was for my sin that Jesus went to the cross. And that's why Jesus came to this earth in the first place. He came to die so we could be reconciled to God. Let me read the rest of Romans 5:10. "If then we were God's enemies, we are reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" That's incredible. We who had turned away from God, done our own thing, were opposed to God, he steps in and he still serves us. Let me tell you, if you haven't submitted your life to Jesus yet, then you remain in that point, place of contention with God as his enemy. But you don't have to stay that way. You can be reconciled to him. You can say, "I don't want to go my own way any longer. I want to submit and do things God's way." You know, God has a perfect standard. He says, "This is what we want you to do." We all go astray. He's given us the Ten Commandments. They are broken nonstop in this world. But yet he said, there's a way you can be right with me. Admit you've done wrong and put your trust in Jesus, who took your place, who suffered the punishment you should endure. He offers a perfect pardon. Do you want a pardon so you don't have to face a penalty for every wrong act you've done? Here it is. Will you take it or leave it? And that's what God does. I hope that you will grab onto that. You know, God's love is so incredible. And God the Son would wash our feet. And we can be changed from his enemy to his friends. But not only that, it gives us an example. And we are told what we are to do as well. Well, let me pray, and then we're going to jump into the rest of our message. Father, I ask that you would help us to understand how great your service was for us. And in light of what you have done and the way you've transformed us and the way you've reoriented our whole beings, that we would imitate the Lord Jesus and we would serve others. And God, that you might use that to draw others to a knowledge of you. God, please guide our time. Help us to hear your word, to be impacted, and to live them out. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 1 John 4:14 tells us, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus in John 20:21 said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Well, the mission of Jesus was to bring people into a relationship with God, and that's what we are called to do as his children. And we've been talking around here for the last few weeks about a notion called BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. The B stands for begin with prayer. Ask God, how would you have me to bless the world? And Lord, who would you have me to bless? The L, listen with care. I love that Gene mentioned that, our Gideon speaker. Listen to people before we engage your mouth. That goes a long ways in getting to know and caring for people. The E is for eat together or experience life. Sharing meals and hospitality can really create a strong bond. And today's letter is sponsored by the letter S, and it stands for serve and love. Well, we're going to take a look at Mark 10, 35 to 45 to begin with. And the disciples, in fact, it was initiated by good old James and John, and they made a really bold request of Jesus. They were not afraid of lots of things, except when the storms got really bad and they were afraid like everybody else. But when it came to asking things, they charged in. And at one point they said, teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Wow, that's pretty bold. The Lord of the universe walking in their midst, do what I want you to do. Whoa. But sometimes our prayers are kind of like that. Anyway, but Jesus says, what would you like me to do for you? Wow, what a great answer, he asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're talking about, guys. He says, can you drink the drink I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with. You're going to suffer for my name, is what he's saying. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong for those to whom they've been prepared. Don't try to get a spot in the special seat when it doesn't belong to you, in essence. Well, when the 10 heard about this, then they were ticked, because really they wanted that seat too. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. You can feel the air getting sucked out of the room. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. You want to be important, Jesus said, serve others. He goes, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's the key of what we're looking at today. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. Now think about this. God, Jesus is God. He has all power. And typically when people have power, what do? They use it. And they often don't use it for the good of others. No, they use it to dominate others, to exert it over them, blow people away. The powerful make other people serve them. But not Jesus. Jesus is God. He's the creator. He knows all things. He can do all things. And what's he do? Uses his power in service to others. That's incredible. That's not what anybody's used to seeing. You know, it'd be something if the governor called and said, hey, I'd like to come and wash your car. Would that be all right? Cool. You know, or whomever, name your whatever person. But if a powerful person wanted to do something for you, that would be really strange. Well, Jesus is going to not only share that one example, but we're going to see that Jesus has even more examples that we want to take note of. Gary Gaudini called Serving Kneeling Love. Kneeling love, I like that. Love that's shown by kneeling. And he had some good insights I used in the message. And Jesus did reflect kneeling love when he washed his disciples' feet. And as he knelt there in the upper room, it showed his attitude as he went to the cross. And then he's going to say, I want you to do likewise. The same attitude, same kinds of impactful actions. So follow along as I read John 13, 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Isn't that interesting? And he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. He knew he has all power and he's about to go back to heaven. What's he do? Lowers himself further. After that, verse 5, he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, unless I wash you, you'll have no part of me. Then Lord Simon said, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you're clean, though not every one of you. Note this, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. And when he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Most likely, disciples, as they're sitting in the upper room, they're reclining in a circle, leaning on their left elbow, using their right hand to eat, and their feet are fanned out behind them. And back then, people wore sandals, and all the roads were dirt. And there were a lot of animals on the road. And what happens when animals walk on road, dirt roads? Well, all the stuff animals do gets mixed in with all the dirt. So think about what's really on their feet at this time. And typically, the person who would wash feet would be the servant, the lowest servant, the youngest, the newest, the least skilled. And so Jesus jumps in and he does the really nasty, lowly job. And he's going to use his head, his hands, and his heart. You know, here, think about this. Remember, he knows he has all power. And they've seen that he's really something special and they think he's from God and he's the Messiah. He's got all power and authority, and he had it in the eternity past. He's going to fully display it in eternity future. But it's not something he demands while he's on earth. Jesus really has an attitude and humility. He didn't push himself up at this time. Listen, guys, I'm about to go back to my Father. Start treating me right. No, he lowers himself further. We read this in Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, think about this. If the Lord of the universe is willing to humble himself, then we as his people should not get a big head. Instead, we should have the same attitude. And so our first point is serving involves our head, and we are called to go low. Serving should involve our head, our attitudes, our minds, our way of thinking. And sometimes we have to go low. We may not like that idea. We may think we're above that idea. But guess what? The one who invented high and low went low. And that was his mindset. Well, Jesus took seriously what humility. But And he shows it by washing their feet. And that pretty much summarizes what he's been doing for the last 30 years, there to serve. It's interesting, he came low. He came down the ladder. He came way down. He descended from heaven to earth to not just become a human, but then to take the place of the lowest human. And then he shows it once again at the Last Supper. But guess what? As we know, that's not going to be the case forever. He will be resurrected. He'll be ascended to his rightful place. And there's going to come a day where everyone is going to stop whatever they're doing and they are going to bow down to him. Note who does the elevating, though. Jesus takes himself low. And in Philippians 2, we read, therefore, God, and it's the Father, exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus is Lord, the glory and praise of God. Jesus goes low, the Father raises him up. People of God, we're to have the same attitude, the same mindset, the same way of thinking. Serve with our heads and be willing to go low. But servanthood also has to do with our hearts, and we're to go last. I don't like that notion. I really like to be first. You know, you ever been walking in and out and like 12 people in the parking lot all converge? And you know the line takes a long time there? And so you can see everybody looking at each other. They're trying not to walk extra fast, but everyone knows they want to get in there before anybody else because they don't want to wait an extra 15 minutes for their hamburger. And I've had cases where I could see somebody and but finally I said, Mike, don't be an idiot. And so I got there first and I opened the door and let them go. And they were like, oh. Freaked them out and kind of freaked myself out because I really want to go through first too. But yeah, our hearts, we got to go last. And it's interesting because on the way to the Last Supper, Luke's gospel talks about how the disciples, again, they're having this spat of who is the greatest. They are thinking that, wow, Jesus is really something. And we think he's the Messiah. He's from God. He's about to crush the Romans, usher into his glorious kingdom. And since we're kind of his right-hand people, guess who's going to be members of his cabinet? Yeah, us. This is going to be great. And of course, we read in Luke 9, an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said, whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you, he is the greatest. Jesus is always deflating their balloons. But guess what? Their heads are always too big when they should be going low with them. So Jesus at the Last Supper is once again going to give a really practical illustration of servanthood. And you know, he's not just fetching a water. He's not just fetching a towel. He's washing very stinky feet. You know, cow manure covered feet, horse manure, probably not pig, but lots of other kind of stuff. You know, and he doesn't just wash one of their feet. Hey, I'd like to give an example of servanthood. How about you, Thaddeus? No, he does all 12 of them. And that would take a long time. We've had foot washing services here before. You know, washing a person takes a little while. So imagine, this is not just a one-minute illustration. This is probably a 30, 40-minute, they're watching Jesus do this stuff. And guess what? He didn't skip Judas. That would have been odd. Judas, who's about to double-cross him. Thomas, who's about to doubt him. Peter, who's about to deny him. Now, think about that. I would have a real hard time serving intimately someone who's about to do that to me. Would you want to serve the man who's about to betray you to the most painful death ever invented on planet Earth? Huh? Could you serve a person who refuses to believe you even though you keep telling them that same thing over and over? Should you consider serving somebody who's about to bail at you at your most vulnerable and weak point? But that didn't stop Jesus. He still gets down and does that. You know, I know when I've got things weighing on my heart and mind, often I'm very self-focused. You know, I'm navel-gazer par excellence. And dealing with other people's issues is just too much sometimes. But here's Jesus. He's facing the most critical time of his time on earth. He knows what's coming to the cross, and yet he keeps focusing on serving. This is incredible. He even served those who disagreed with him. He He's taking his marching orders from the Father. You know, if I was Jesus, I would have waited till Judas left the room before starting the foot washing. But not him. He served all. You know, guess what? We're to serve those that don't look like us, those that don't cook like us, those that don't eat like us, talk like us, and go vote like us. Ooh, now that's getting personal. But guess what? A lot of those folks that need us to serve them, they need the blessing of God too. And so lastly, we want to serve with our hands too, and we're called to go in love. We want to use our heads and have the right mindset. We want to use our hearts and be willing to go last. But then we need to use our hands too. And 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You know what Jesus says at the end of 13? He says, when he'd finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. I'm guessing he had their full attention. Imagine at the Last Supper, Jesus says, I want you to go around washing feet. See you later. That wouldn't have had nearly the impact as when, again, there was this half hour, hour-long foot-washing ceremony right before their eyes. This is amazing. And then he tells them something profound in verse 14. Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you should too. You know, how did you expect him to finish the sentence, you know? I'm thinking to myself, what I would have said, I've washed your feet, you should feel absolutely ashamed of yourselves, you ungrateful, filthy ingrates. Would you have said that? Maybe. I don't know. Or, I wash your feet, now start scrubbing mine. No, I wash your feet. You should also wash one another's. That's profound what Jesus does. You know, and a great place to start serving people is not necessarily downtown Medford or Mozambique, but right across the street. Though you can serve people in Malaysia or Moscow or Minneapolis, but I'd encourage you, do those things, go to those places, but start with where you work, where you play, where you hang out, in your neighborhood and with your family. Because guess what we're told at the end of this passage in John 13? Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Isn't that interesting? Blessed if we follow his example. Now just take it in, actually live it out. Lower yourself. Lower myself. Don't insist on being elevated. But remember, to be blessed is when you lower yourself and let God lift you up. Sounds kind of like what Paul said in Acts. It's more blessed to give than receive. You know, and the great thing is, we don't have to do it in our own power because the Holy Spirit's going to come to help us. So in light of all this, who's God calling you to serve? I want to encourage you to ask him. Be in prayer for that person or those people. Listen to them intentionally with care. Eat or do life with them somehow. Find a way to serve them. And be ready when God gives you the opportunity. Remember, you were once God's enemy. You were opposed to him. You had the stinkiest of stinky, slimy, scaly feet, and Jesus still stooped to love and care for you. Let me encourage you to let Jesus wash the feet of others through you. Remember, our serving involves our heads. We're called to go low. Our hearts, we're called to go last. Our hands, we're called to love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way you blessed us even when we were opposed to you. We thank you for the way you served even when we want to elevate ourselves. We thank you that you set the example and you give us the strength to do so. I pray that you would do amazing, wonderful, powerful work in this area. Because we as your people take seriously your example and your words, and we start serving. No, I don't mean going knocking on doors, can I wash your feet, but looking around and seeing what something we can do. I pray you'd help us to be a blessing to others. We have been blessed. Help us to share it with others. It's in your name I pray, amen.